The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, John Cadell and Larissa Nolan are with us for a weekly music spot. The first thing we're going to talk about, when is it the Spice Girls? They're all sold out, aren't they, for their tour going around the world, or more or less?
More or less, yeah. There was additional tickets released last week. Yeah. They hold some back.
But they don't need to be causing any controversy to sell extra tickets, or do they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Do you think, is the row that's going on between, who is it, Mel B and Jerry, is it real or contrived, did you reckon, Larissa?
I think it's real, and I think what's happened is that one of them has forgotten about it, or has chosen to forget about
it. Forget about what? We better inform people of what we're talking about.
Of course. So what happened was, which one was it? Mel B was, and that's Scary Spice, as we know her as. She was interviewed by Piers Morgan last week, and I think there was some sort of talk about, all the Spice Girls sleeping together, and she revealed that she had, in fact, actually slept with Jerry. So
Ginger Spice.
Yes, Ginger Spice. So Ginger Spice and Scary Spice. Very titillating story. A lot of people would enjoy that story and sure to cause lots of headlines. But as you pointed out, it's not that they're really in need of any, crazy publicity.
But Jerry's livid.
This is the thing. She said, there was a bit, one line she said in it that I wasn't too impressed with. She said, she probably won't like me saying that now. She's all posh in her country house. She won't like me revealing this. So then Jerry said, this never happened. It's an awful thing to say, or something along those lines.
And it was, wasn't it? You should never talk about having slept with somebody unless you have their permission to do so, should you?
I would think so. It doesn't seem to be the rule of the day, though, Matt. It's certainly my own personal code and has served me well. But at the same time, when it comes to women, I think engaging in sort of what can turn into something else very quickly between women. Sorry, we're going into a very different conversation here. But I think sometimes some women can forget it, especially if you're going back through decades. It meant something else to them. And I think that what's happening here is that there's a kind of a miscommunication between the two of them as to what actually went on. So both of them, I think, are telling the truth.
You're uncharacteristically quiet, John. Afraid of putting your foot in it by saying something completely incorrect, are you?
No, other than that, I agree that it's not really for Mel B to spill the beans when she's supposed to be going on tour with this other lady.
It's
going to
make for some unpleasant atmosphere, isn't it, in the green room beforehand?
I mean, the rumours were when Jerry left the Spice Girls that it was because she had fallen out with Mel B in particular. So Mel B is known as being the one who is a bit unpredictable.
Yeah, she's more sexually adventurous, most sexually adventurous person in the band. She's often spoken before about bisexual experiences and stuff like that. So this doesn't surprise me at all. I do think that the both of them are remembering it in different ways, which is what can happen with memory, as we know.
We've mentioned this before, though. I mean, it's if somebody is bringing up stuff that happened over 20 years ago, who among us would not be annoyed at, that was 20 years ago, let it go.
Your life is in a different place.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a mum now. She's married, and who didn't do,
But it's Piers, isn't it? Piers gets stuff like that out of people all the time and causes all kinds of ructions. I think
you can't blame him for this one.
I'm not blaming him. Yeah. I'm saying he's a very good interviewer.
I think she's praising
him. Yeah,
oh,
I'm
God,
praising him.
It's worse.
So I think that's his thing. That's what he does.
Well, I suppose we've got an appropriate piece of music for this.
Spice up your life. When you're feeling
enough. Where do they come into Croke Park?
May 24th.
Not that far away now, is it?
The date is ringed on the calendar in our house. This is a big fan.
And your one isn't there, is she? Posh Spice.
No, she's
your
not
one.
There.
Mrs. Beckham.
Yeah, she and her vocals.
Herself.
Her vocals will be missed terribly, as will her ability to dance.
And smile.
And smile, yeah. She'll be bringing the good vibes.
I see the Rolling Stones have had to cancel an American tour because Mick Jagger is ill.
Mick Jagger has to have a valve replaced in his heart.
He is 75.
Yes, but
it's amazing to think.
Did you see them last year?
No, I didn't.
I saw them last year, hopping around the stage like a young fella he was. It was incredible.
But isn't
to watch.
Very, very fit though? And he's been after a younger life that was wild and crazy. Didn't he turn to all kind of yoga and healthy eating and all those kind of things? you know, he looks after himself, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
Yes, he's a toddler as well. The eight children, isn't it? The youngest is only a year or two old.
Eight that we know about, bless him. Yeah, I mean, he has a child, certainly under 10 anyway.
But
I think it's even younger. Yeah.
So he is mortal. After all, he can end up needing heart surgery. He's great. I mean, like, I was just thinking about him. The one thing that I have him always remember for all the albums they've done, it's that kind of dynamic, electrified dance that he does with David Bowie in Dancing in the Streets.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, when we hear about Mick Jagger being in hospital with heart surgery, it just doesn't really fit.
No,
you know,
he's
always
so energetic,
a dynamo. Yeah. So I hope he's okay. I don't know. Yeah. Does it look like he's going to be okay? Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, he will be okay. He was pictured apparently on a beach in Miami on Sunday. So that's sort of allayed fears that he's very seriously ill. So, I mean, yeah, we look at the Rolling Stones. I mean, they've been around since, I don't know, the year dot. And they do seem to be somewhat immortal. So, of course, they're getting on now. And these things are going to happen.
Our producer has a rather wicked sense of humour, because the song he's picked for the Rolling Stones is, I suppose, something you'd associate with a defibrillator.
Yeah.
Start Me Up from the Rolling Stones, the very much still alive Mick Jagger, but it's 25 years on Friday since Kurt Cobain died by suicide. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary, isn't it? I think it's that long ago. Yeah. I remember hearing it in the morning news as if it was yesterday.
It was my generation's JFK moment. Absolutely. If you were into music and you knew Nirvana, you know where you were when you heard.
Do you remember the vigils and such like that? I mean, I was just thinking about him today because, obviously with the anniversary, it's this week, isn't it? I thought it was the 9th,
Friday,
but it's the 8th actually.
No, the 5th apparently when he died, and the 8th when his body was found, I believe.
That's what it was. I actually knew it was coming up because I was such a huge Kurt Cobain fan and Nirvana fan, as John said, like so many of us were at that time, that I actually remember knowing that he was going to die before he died. Because I had seen him play in what is the Three Arena now in the Point Depot. Yeah. You kind of loved him and hate and disliked him at the same time, as well as loving him, because he had such disrespect for the audience. You could tell that he didn't want to be there. I still loved him. Then I was going to go and see him again. I think they were going to play in the RDS, and that was cancelled, as far as I know, because he overdosed and he nearly died. Mm. And that was a real red flag that he was going to do it again. It seemed his death was inevitable. I think he was one of the biggest cultural figures. He was like a cult figure, the leader of a cult. He was the leader of our whole tribe, I think, at the time. And his death was, as John said, you're right, it's like JFK moment. It was just phenomenal. These vigils and this, everybody was just absolutely heartbroken. Huge, huge moment.
And you think about it, Kurt Cobain, and people take him for granted. But what that one song did to the Western world music scene, it just killed the careers of so many hair bands. Mm. They just became ridiculous in the face of Smells Like Teen Spirit and that punk attitude and that sort of, this song, it means something. This is, serious stuff. This is actually life-changing.
Yeah,
and all the crap that came before, it was just washed away literally overnight.
And the whole story, I mean, the way it ended up, and he was this, you remember his mother said he's become part of that stupid club. Do you remember that?
She was talking about
the 27 club. I mean, you could really see where it was going to end up, but that was kind of part of the beauty of what was happening.
You mentioned it, one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. so we don't run out of time, let's get your picks of the week. John, what's your pick of the week?
Well, I've gone for two. I don't expect us to spend lots of time on them, but I want to alert people to the fact that the Slits debut album from 79 called Cut has just been reissued on vinyl. And if you haven't checked it out before now, it's well worth doing. It's called Cut. And also, my favourite Bob Dylan album is called Street Legal. That's been reissued on vinyl by Sony. But whichever you want to play a clip from.
I was going
from,
to play both
fine.
Of them.
Great,
so
let's
you sort
do
of
it.
Jumped ahead of yourself.
Sorry,
there,
I was trying
you?
To get both of them in.
Let's hear a bit of the Slits. This Here's Typical Girls.
Typical Girls.
Barry says, that's muck.
Well, Barry, I'm afraid to tell you that you're quite wrong. Yeah, okay, they can't
Were
really play their
with
instruments
that,
very well.
Do you know something? I wasn't, actually.
You don't know
no,
the Slits?
No, I wasn't. It was just, you've got me there, John, for once, and I should know very well, but I'll tell you what I came in
oh, no,
it reminded me of.
Was
the Breeders.
Oh,
it's very like the Breeders, who must have obviously taken inspiration from.
Okay, your second choice?
Yeah, this is my all-time favourite Bob Dylan album. And if one listener wants to buy this album on the strength of this song, if they don't like it and send me the receipt, I will reimburse them from my own pocket. One first listener to do so.
This is Changing of the Guards. Friends who've always considered this as a heresy, but I'm going to say it now. I've never got the Bob Dylan thing.
That's
that
okay.
Does nothing for me.
I don't get the Tom Waits thing. I don't get the Patti Smith thing. That's fine.
Well, I love Bob Dylan. I think he's totally addictive. And I now feel like I want to go to a bar and get a whiskey and just sit and listen to Bob Dylan all night. What's your favourite Bob Dylan album, though?
This, Street Legal.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
okay, all
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying. If a listener wants to buy it, doesn't like it, sends me the receipt, I will send
them
what
that one,
pay
of course.
For.
That sorry, you just said that. But that's definitely
that
your
yeah.
all-time favourite.
Yeah.
I love Blood in the Tracks.
Yeah,
and there's another one he had recently called Time Out of Mind. I
yeah,
think.
Myself
Loved
and Paul
album.
McLoone were talking about it outside. That
very underrated.
Could be his greatest. But don't worry, Matt. If he deems it appropriate, Bob will come to you when you're ready. So have
That's
no
true.
Fear.
What's your pick for pick of the week, please?
Very different, but then probably a little bit inspired by Bob Dylan, is Molly Tuttle, who is a young Bluegrass International Guitar Award she got recently, a first woman ever to do so. She's fantastic, based in Nashville. What a great town for music. And she sounds to me like Amy Mann crossed with Ryan Adams.
Okay, well, I love Amy Mann some stuff, so I'm going to listen to this with great interest. This is Messed With My Mind.
You had your chance and you blew it. I let you under my skin one time. You had your chance.
That does have a real ring of Amy Mann off it.
Doesn't it? It's very like I Should Have Known.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely song?
Oh, yeah.
There's a bang of Jenny Lewis off it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is. Yeah, there is.
We have a contest now for all these things. About
yeah.
How derivative it is.
No. Just remindful.
Okay. All right. We've got a minute and a half left. You're not taken with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards, I take it, John, are you?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is everything I hate about the modern music industry.
Go on,
as
why?
Though rock and roll belongs in a museum when it's a living, breathing thing. Unlike me right now, sorry. Yeah, I just hate the idea that all of these owl lads in Cleveland decide who deserves to get into their stupid museum about rock and roll.
I know, but wasn't there a brilliant moment when the really excitable woman came up to Robert Smith, who's been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and she came up and she said, "Are you as excited as I am?" And he just goes, "No."
Yeah, that was very funny. But at the same time, if you don't want to be there, Rob, don't turn up.
Okay, I actually think you may have had a proposition from Brian and Galway, Larissa, who says, Bob Dylan, bar and whiskey, let's go, I'm buying. Quite a
Where?
Lot. What was the Dylan album described as the best ever after the mention of Blood on the Tracks?
We think it could be Time Out of Mind. From
another 97. One says, Desire is my favourite Bob Dylan album. I love
album.
Him. I'll join you for that whiskey if you want. I'd love you to listen to him all evening. You
should throw that out more
often.
We're
finding loads of suitors here as a result of that. That's all we've
Any
time for.
Any for me?
No, for you, John. Gee, are you kidding? Larissa Nolan and John Cadell, thank you very much for being with us on the programme tonight.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.